be in the presence of the Most High. Amen. And we want to thank God for, I just want to have a special word of thanks for what I have seen God do here in St. Timothy in the past several months.
All right.
He's given us some very gifted musicians, and we thank God for them. And singers. Amen. And dancers now. I mean, God just keep on. He don't ever stop, does he? Singers, dancers, musicians. Amen. Preachers, we got everything over here. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for all that. Amen. Because he didn't have to do it. Amen. I believe the devil gets mad when God does stuff like that. So sometimes that's why you see discord and strange things going on. Because the devil is not happy about what God is doing. Amen. But you know what? He's a loser.
Yes, he is.
He's a toothless tiger. He can do all kinds of caterwauling and complaining. The scripture say he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's looking for somebody, but Jesus had declawed and cut the teeth out of him. So you just have to don't give him no glory. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and we thank God for, want to say once again officially, Happy Father's Day to all of you to whom that is appropriate, and those who are hearing my voice by extension any kind of way. Amen. We do try to make effort to put the word out.
Oh, yes.
So that it can be heard anywhere from around the planet. Amen. Since we have the resources to do that. And so anyone hearing my voice, Happy Father's Day. Maybe you don't practice it over there in Afghanistan. I don't know what y'all do. But in either case, we want to let you know that Jesus is Lord everywhere.
Yes,
around the planet. Amen. And anywhere in the universe. If E.T. is listening, you need to get on your face and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the Bible says there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Amen. So if there's somebody on Mars, you need Jesus.
That's right.
Up there on Mars. You can't get saved without Christ. And I don't care where you're at and where you're coming from. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
We talked about that last week, and I just said that to kind of tweak us into the lesson today. Amen. Because this is somewhat of an extension, even though it is set up for Father's Day. Last week we talked about one God and one goal. There's one God and one goal. God has one goal, and that is to have everyone worship him through his son.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. So in some sense you have to see that that is about fatherhood.
Yes.
God the Father cannot be approached without God the Son.
That's right. Amen.
And that's the news that people are too, I don't know what to say, I don't know what they are, but they, for some reason today, it's politically incorrect to be dogmatic in black and white like that, where you can't just cancel everywhere. I didn't do it. Jesus did.
That's right.
He said, whoever comes without coming in my name, it comes as a thief and a robber.
Right, right, yeah.
So if you come in without him, you come as a thief and a robber.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and he said, you must come in at the door. And he said, I am the door.
Right.
See, so he said that. He said, he who is not with me is against me. So he divides the whole world into two camps. Either you with me or you against me.
That's it.
See? And God the Father said, you cannot come to me unless you come through my Son. Because he's the only mediator, Paul writes, between God and men. And so basically the reason that God did that, the reason there is one God and one goal in all of time, is because we serve the Father of perfect love. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit today. Amen. God is not against anyone. You see? But the fact is, he has opened the door for everyone.
Yes, he has.
So it's not him that's stopping you if you don't have a proper relationship with him.
That's right.
Because on his end, he could say, I've done everything necessary for you to be saved. Now the question is, do you believe it?
Right.
Do you receive it?
Yeah.
See? Do you understand it? I'm going to try to help you understand it better by and by. But let's read a few verses to hang our thoughts on here today on this Father's Day. You may want to stand, stretch your legs if you can, and we're going to read read just a few verses from the Psalms. You know, we began talking about this a few lessons back. What was Israel singing about? We said that the people tend to sing about things that are important to them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Things that are on their mind come out in song and in poetry and all that type of thing. So we've been looking at that. That's just a side point in case you happen not to be with us and you're here today. What was Israel singing about? Well, we're going to go to number 67 in the 150 Psalms, we said, which come from five books of songs that make up the whole 150 Psalms that we call the Psalter in the Old Testament. That we Psalm 1 through 150. This is number 67 today. And we're going to look at the KJV in both translate for both old and new today. And then we're going to look in the New Testament at 1 John. We've been taking a little time there in chapter number 4, verses 14 to 19. So read me with me, if you would, Psalms number 67, starting at verse 1. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That
way.
Go ahead, read. I'm listening.
That way we live upon earth.
Uh-huh.
That way we live upon all nations.
Mm.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen.
Amen.
This is the old covenant of the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the New Testament, 1 John chapter number 4, verse 14. And we
have seen
and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love of God hath unto us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And as I said, we're going to use for topic, Father of Perfect Love. Father of Perfect Love. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. We praise you. We thank you for another Father's Day this year, Lord. And some of us have mixed emotions this time of year, Father, depending on what our circumstances are. But Father, we just ask you to come in today and be a balm to everyone here, Lord. We just need you to comfort us today, Lord God, to help us, whoever we are, Father, under the sound of my voice. We want to give honor to those who begot us in the earth physically. And Father, whether we know them or we don't, whether they're with us or they're with you, or whether they're not, and they don't know you, wherever they are, Lord, whatever the circumstance is, just the whole idea of fatherhood, we just bless you today and thank you for the whole idea, Father, because it was something you designed in eternity and you fleshed it out into the world. And you even thought so much of it that you sent your only begotten Son to be born like we were, to come through the womb of a virgin, that he might come into this world without sin and become the only mediator between God and man. And we thank you for that, my Father, that expression of love. And your word says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we pray for revelation today, Father, that we might understand that you are the Father of perfect love.
Yes.
And in understanding that, Father, that you might help us to grow spiritually. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
The church said together, amen. Amen. We thank God for all that he has done. The reason we went to this psalm is that it has a significance that I wanted to point out in this series that we're doing here. And it just shows us that God has never been against anyone. I want to let you know from the word go, coming out the box, if you will, that God loves all people, and he always did. So God, one thing that you all know, if you've been around St. Timothy any amount of time, we teach what the Bible says about called the communicable attributes of God. In other words, things that we are able to understand about God. What can be communicated about God. Some things we don't know about God.
Yeah.
Some things are way over our understanding and way over our head. We can't get a grip on.
Yes.
You know, we can't understand so many things, like the scientific stuff that God does. We talk about it a little. We say he is omnipresent.
Yep.
That means he is everywhere all at the same time.
Yep.
He is omnipotent, means he has all power.
Yep.
Even though we don't know and can't identify what all that power is, we know he has all power.
That's right. Amen.
And he is omniscient. In other words, he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be taught anything.
No.
Because he knows everything.
Yes.
Amen.
There's nothing you can teach God. God has never been surprised by anything that you ever did or I ever did. Because God knows everything.
Yes, he does.
He knows the end from the beginning. It's hard for us with our minds the way they are, being fallen. We can't even wrap our mind around a thought like that.
Right.
See, to understand, how can you know everything?
Yeah.
See, and there's a great wisdom there. Things that we can communicate, though. We give them terms, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. See, and all those type of things we talk about. And there's some things about God that are above our understanding that cannot be communicated. And so we just have to take those things by faith.
Yes.
God's word is his mechanism through which he blesses all of us and teaches all of us. And he saves the ones who believe what he says in his word. And he doesn't do that just strictly through the word, but also through the things that the word teaches. For example, it teaches that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So when people come to you talking about religions of the world, there's only one. That's your answer. If you believe God, there is one true religion.
That's right.
And that is faith in God through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said whoever believes anything else, that's the other one, whatever that is. And so we're not going to try to define that, whatever that is. You know, people call it all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And the Bible says this, God is not the author of confusion. So he's not trying to confuse anybody. Who is doing that? The devil and man. See, man comes up and concocts stuff. You even got some men have the audacity to say, there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
They have the nerve to say there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd your lips come from?
Hey,
you know, where'd your breath come from?
Amen.
You know what? You're going to find out you're wrong if you don't change your thoughts.
Amen.
About that. Because God, the Bible says, as we mentioned last week, that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
That's right. So it's going to be a day you're going to know.
Yes.
And it's without a shadow of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, we want to talk about here, and you can see this thing, this universal thing about God. God is not against anyone. And you might say, well, what the preacher saying sound like he's against somebody. No, he's not. The preacher believes what God says and what the word says.
Amen.
So in Psalm 67, this psalmist agreed. He said, God be merciful unto us. He realizes we need mercy. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve.
Amen.
It's a form of grace when we do not get what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And bless us. That means speak well of us.
Mm-hmm.
And cause his face to shine upon us. In other words, that's a way of saying, let us be in your face and in your blessing. God, let your face shine on me. That means put your blessing and your grace upon me and all of us. And he asked for us corporately. He says that thy way may be known upon the earth. See that?
Uh-huh.
Let me know. And if you don't teach me, I can't know.
That's right.
So I'm asking God, teach me, because I can't know.
Hello.
If you don't do it, I can't know.
Yes.
So let your way be known, and thy saving health. And notice what it says, among all nations. Why come it doesn't just say among Israel?
All right.
You know why? Because God loves all the nations.
Yes, he does.
Our message is a universal message to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. Jesus dispatched us to go into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in spite of what people say, the church is the most universal organization in the history of time.
Amen.
We're preaching to everybody, no matter who you are.
Everybody.
No matter what country you come from. No matter what nationality you come from. The Father has dispatched us. And you know what? This Old Testament text shows us that he is always been desirous to save all nations. That's what it says, right? Yeah. Let the people, now that's another metaphor for all the people, praise thee, O God. Yeah. Let all the people, in case you wondered in the second part of the verse 3, praise thee.
Yeah.
See, we said that last week, all praise is going to come from everybody and redound to the glory of God when everything is all sorted out. Verse number 4, oh, let the nations, you see that again?
Yes.
Be glad and sing for joy.
Mm-hmm.
For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth.
Yeah.
Wow, is this New Testament? No.
Oh.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The psalmist is talking about all the nations everywhere. It sounds like this should be a New Testament passage, perhaps, huh? No, this is the Old Covenant. Think about this. When God spoke to Abraham back in Genesis 12, you Bible scholars are aware of this, he told him there weren't any Jews yet.
That's right.
Because God had not yet crafted them in the flesh. They didn't come forth until 3 generations removed from Abraham.
That's right.
So he was speaking to a Chaldean Gentile in Genesis 12. And he told him, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred and come into a land that I will show thee. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God was talking to all the nations from the beginning. Before Israel ever existed. The law bears record of it. God has always been a universal God reaching out to everyone.
Yes.
You know why? Because in the paternal, physical, fleshly sense, he is the father of the creator of us all.
Amen.
When he made Adam, we all came perpetually out of the seed of Adam.
Amen.
And this went on all the way up until God sanctified a seed from Abraham.
That's right.
See, no Jews yet existed. The dividing of the Gentiles is recorded all the way from after the flood. Let's go back to Genesis 6. This is a crash course on this. Genesis 6, the world was flooded in judgment. And only 8 souls, the Bible says, were delivered through the flood. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the 3 sons of Noah and their wives, and Noah and his wife, made up the 8 people who began to repopulate the whole earth after the flood.
Amen.
And in Genesis, you can read after chapter 8 through 10 about the dividing of the Gentiles who came out of those 3 sets of people. And so basically what happens when you get to chapter 12 is God sanctifies Abram. He tells him, come on out of your country.
Right.
Come away from your kindred. Get out of your father's house.
Yep.
In other words, don't worry about any earthly inheritance. Just come on. I got you. I got your back. I'm going to take you to a land and show you and bless you.
Mama.
And your name is going to be great.
Yeah.
One of the greatest names in the world, second only probably to Jesus Christ, is the name of Abraham.
Amen.
See, all the religions of the world talk about Father Abraham.
Yep. Yeah.
Since it's Father's Day, we wanted to bring that up. Father Abraham. See, even in next week's Sunday school lesson, y'all, you need to come in here and tune in on that. It's like the rich man, when he lifts up his eyes in hell, he says, Father Abraham, he's calling across the great gulf. He's going to be talking about it, but we're not talking about that right now. So let's get back to this. But we can see that God has been universal, reaching out to all mankind all the time.
Yeah.
He told Abram that in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Yeah.
And so basically this thought continues on through the Old Testament, but sometimes the Jews, since they were singled out to be the covenant people, in other words, God made a promise and he produced through Abraham, who had no seed, Isaac and Jacob, later on 3 generations down, then he multiplied them into 12 tribes.
Yep.
And then they began to be called Israel, the ones who were who wrestled with God and prevailed. That's what Israel meant when Jacob wrestled wrestled with the angel. Remember that?
Yep.
And so they became the covenant people. Now what happens sometimes, the covenant people get a little bit arrogant. They get a little bit like, well, look what God did for us, you know. And we're going to strut our feathers and stick forth our chests. But we're the people of God. Well, yeah, that's true. But he didn't call you to stay a people to yourself. He called you to show you that you, I'm going to bless you so other people go, look how blessed they are. What is it that they have going on that I need? And it was to be attractive so it would be evangelistic. And God never shunned a Gentile anywhere in the Old Testament. Look through there. You'll find out people like Rahab, who was called what? Rahab? The harlot. Somebody know the Bible in here. The harlot, Rahab, got saved. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
You know why? Because she believed the God of the Jews.
Amen.
She said, I heard about your God.
Yes.
And they didn't even have news, radio, and TV, and newspaper. But news of your God, how he devastated those kings over there, came all the way over here to Jericho. Yeah. And I believe him, and I know he is God.
That's right.
She had faith.
Yes, she did.
And so she got saved.
Amen.
And God received her.
Yeah.
We could go on, and we do that around here from time to time. Anybody that came to the Lord, believing in him, got saved. Naaman, remember him? He was up in the northern kingdom, and he had leprosy.
Yes, he is.
And he heard about the God of Israel through an Israelite, the little slave girl that they had taken, and she was working around in the where he was, and she told him, there's a prophet in Israel that can deal with your problem.
Uh-huh.
He said, what? You know, and he went down there to check it out, found out he could be baptized in the River Jordan 7 times and come up clean.
Yes.
And he trusted in the God of Abraham. See, and he got saved.
Yes,
we could go on and on talking about folk got saved. Ruth, the Moabitess or the Moabitess, however you want to call it.
Yeah,
she was of a foreign country.
Yes, she
and
was.
She clung on to Naomi, and she said, I'm going to go with you, and I don't care what happens. All the trouble we've been through, I believe your God is God. I'm hanging on with you to the grave.
Yeah.
And she made a vow that she would come back, and she got saved, and she's written into the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So all these people, you see them, and we can go on and on. So God has always been preaching to everyone.
Always.
He wants everybody to be saved.
Yes.
If you're here today, he wants you to be saved.
That's right.
He loves you just like you are. And if he doesn't make us right, we can't be right.
Amen.
So God has to do it. We don't have any authority or any power to make ourselves acceptable to God.
Right.
But the good news is he is the Father of perfect love.
Yes, he is.
And he has always been the Father of perfect love. Another thing we talk about God is the immutability of God. That means he does not change.
No.
That means whatever he did for one, guess what? He'll do it for you.
That's right.
See, so no matter who you are and what you've done, God will save you. He loves you and he wants you to be saved. If he did it for one, he can do it for you. So this psalmist is going on here. Let's move along here a little bit. He says in verse number 6, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. See that? That's letting you know of the future glory of Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign with a rod of iron, the Bible says. That day is coming.
Yes.
It's coming a day when the second part of Isaiah 9:6, I heard somebody mention that this morning, will come to pass.
Yes.
For unto us a child is born.
Yes.
Unto us a son is given.
Yes.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall rule and reign upon the throne of his father David. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Oh, yeah.
See, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That's what Isaiah said. He's going to perform this one day. And you know what happened? The Jews got stumped up because Jesus said he was the child that was born. And when he went to the cross, he was the son that was given.
Yeah.
And then they wondered what happened when the government's going to be on your shoulder. That's the next part.
Right.
And that's when the disciples came after Jesus rose from the dead. In the book of Acts chapter 1, he said, Lord, is it at this time that you restore the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And he told them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons
that
the Father's put into his own power. That's one of those things that you and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. See, they didn't understand the mission that God is for all the nations. He's the Father of perfect love, and he wants to preach in all the world.
Yes.
See, and he's given the world time to get saved.
Follow.
And so the apostles didn't get it. He said, but don't worry, you just go and wait, and you shall be endued with power from on high. Because, and that happened basically on the 120 days of the 120 disciples went in on the day of Pentecost, I should say. And they were endued with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to found the church.
Yes.
And to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And you and I are here today, all the way in America, nowhere near Israel, because they preached and they sent the gospel to the ends of the world. And it's still here today. The same message that we preach. And it comes from the Father of perfect love. He loves you. And perfect love, we're going to find out about in just a minute, will cast out fear. That's one of the biggest things, and we want to talk about that. Because we're fearful of so many things these days. But notice what it says here. Let, in verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us.
Yes.
God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The scripture says, don't fear anyone but God.
Amen.
But we have a problem with that. There's a lot of stuff we fear, you and I, in this room.
Yep.
We hear about stuff. We see faulty, defective government.
Yep.
We see all kinds of stuff, violence in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We hear about diseases and sicknesses.
Right.
And a lot of stuff tries to grip your heart with fear.
Yep.
And the Bible says, don't fear anyone but God.
That's right. Amen. See,
fear, have no fear, because fear basically will bring you into torment, is what John's going to tell us. Let's read a little bit of this. But what I want you to see first is Psalm 67 is a good representation of the idea that there is a universal nature of the covenant promises of God, and is clearly seen throughout the entire Old Testament. That is, that God, having always had a desire to save all the people of his creation, yet he has always given all the people the choice, either to choose him or to refuse him.
That's right.
You either choose him or you refuse him.
Right.
You're in one camp or the other. You choose God or you refuse God.
That's it.
God loves you, and that's his proclamation.
That's right.
To you.
Amen.
Now, do you love him back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody wrote a song as it's so good loving somebody if somebody loves you back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God loves you.
That's right.
And he wants you to love him back.
Yes.
See? And if you do, you can have peace in your mind. You don't have to worry about any kind of trouble or anything that's going on around you. And so basically it is through the preaching and the study of the Bible, God's holy and inerrant word, that we acquire faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the word preached, faith is being given to you.
That's right. Amen.
God is imparting faith to you when you hear the word, and he's giving you instructions how you can grow and progress in the things of God.
Yes.
So we acquire faith and learn how to think and see things from God's perspective rather than from a mere human level of understanding, which elevates our knowledge of the great love that God our Father has for us and has become a safeguard. It becomes a safeguard against the never-ending barrage of fearful things of the fallen world and all the attacks of the enemies of God. That's what you learn when you really absorb God's word. See, and then stuff around you becomes less significant.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. It can look real. This is a scary thing here.
Yes.
But you know what? You rest in God.
Yeah. Trust in the Lord.
God has got my back.
That's right.
Amen.
So I don't need to be wishy-washy and blown around like Paul told the Ephesians.
Yes.
Don't be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Mm.
See, he warned the church. Get grounded in the truth.
That's right. Amen.
And then when the winds of doctrine start to blow, you'll be like a tree.
Amen.
Planted by the rivers of water.
Yes.
That bringeth forth his fruit in season.
Yes.
His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because I'm grounded in the truth of God's word.
Yes.
I don't have to be tossed around and carried about by fearful stuff that scares people.
Amen.
In the world. See? So that's what the word does for you. Now I want you to see this. Let's look at, go quickly to the New Testament with me here. 1 John 4, and we've been in this one for a while. We call this Little John, okay, because it's in the back of the Word back there, not the Big John, the one with the 21 chapters. So 1 John in the 4th chapter, this is what John says, and he was called, of course, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he called himself. And he says, and we have seen and do testify See that? That the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Right.
So the Father, of perfect love, sent his Son. And notice that, to be the Savior. That word the reason it says the Savior is that it has the definite article in the Greek, meaning that there's only one. He is the Savior of the world. Not just of the Jews. Not just of the church. But of the world. There's one Savior for the whole world.
Only one.
And that's emphatically spoken here by John.
No other.
See, that he is said to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him.
That's right.
And he in God. How do you get in God? Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You confess that he is the Son of God.
Yes.
You believe that with your whole heart.
Oh yes.
You believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, and you shall be saved.
Right.
See, and God is not trying to trick you. You know what the church will tell you? What, you got 49 more hoops to jump through over here before you get saved? No, the Bible says you believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And God dwells in you, period. The gospel is that pure.
Yeah.
See, now it doesn't mean that God won't bless you and gift you and you might speak in tongues. You might.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might, but you don't have to.
That's right.
You're speaking in English, that's a tongue. So we can go on and on. You know, so everyone speaks in a tongue.
That's right.
Because you can't speak without a tongue.
That's right.
So the fact is, if you can speak at all, that's a miracle. That's one of the things that separates the human beings from the animals and other people.
Right.
So we're astonished when we go in the pet store and there's a bird who can talk like what? It blows you away, doesn't it? And you don't see very many of them.
Nah.
You see what I'm saying? That lets you know they can hear it. I think God has a good sense of humor with some of the things he does. But the fact is, the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it says God dwelleth, and you notice that ETH, this is the reason I picked the King James translation. I realize it was written in 1611, and some of these words, we don't get a grip on it today, but sometimes they portray a thought that we need.
Yeah.
And this one says, the one who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth.
Dwelleth.
Yeah. That means he starts at the moment you believe and continues to be in you.
Right there.
In him, and he in God. Not only is God in you, but you are in him.
That's right.
Wow. That's deep, isn't it?
Right.
He moves into me, and I move into him just by believing in the Son.
Hallelujah.
I'm covered under his blessing and his grace. See that? And notice what the result is here, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love of God that God has for us. Now, how do we know? Because God sent his Son. God is love, is what the truth is. That's revealed here in verse 16.
That's right.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wow. That's amazing. You know, and I was going to take a minute and I decided I wouldn't tell you what people in the world say they think love means. But you know, you've heard it. You've heard it. You got folk like Tina say, what's love got to do with it? You got all kind of folk talking about different stuff about love. But the Bible says that this is perfect love that comes from God. You're going to see that here. Let's read on. You know all of the different bad definitions. One thing I like about the Greek language is they have about three or four words that are translated love.
Uh-huh.
One of them is phileo. That means brotherly love. Or storge. That's family love. That's love between family members.
Yep.
And that is different, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
There's eros, which is kind of a sexual or sensual love.
Yep.
That's totally different than family love.
Yes.
See, and we, over here we say, oh, I love my dog.
Yeah.
And then we say, oh, I love my wife. And it means the same thing. It's like, wow, we use love kind of loosely.
Wait a minute.
Over here, you know, oh, I love french fries, or I love ice cream. And we don't know what's the difference. The Greeks didn't allow that. They had a different word for different kinds of love. And then there was the word agapao. That's the most highest type of love there is. It's unconditional. It's not based on circumstances or conditions or behavior. It has nothing to do with that. God loves you because God is love. See? It ain't got nothing to do with what you, and you're thinking in your head, well, you know, oh, I used to be a prostitute, or I used to be a dope addict, or I might still be a dope addict, or whatever the case is. It has nothing to do with that.
Nothing.
God God just loves you because God is love.
Amen.
And he knew that we would be whacked. That doesn't just mean I'm okay to be all this. You know what? When you start to dwell in God and God starts to dwell in you, he's going to start to fix all the junk in your life. It's not going to quit till you quit living. That's what Peter said. He says only the someone who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Because sin will always be a problem until you get out of this flesh. And that doesn't mean it's okay either. But you know what? When God gets in, you're going to know it's not okay. Because God's going to teach you that it's not okay. And he's going to teach you what to do to get free. I bet you there's some witnesses in this room that know that when God moved in, a whole lot of junk had to move out. It had to go. No longer acceptable anymore. Because perfect love comes in and it casts out fear. It casts out sin. It casts out stuff that's not like God. See? And that's what you need. You need the Father of perfect love to come in and make adjustments in your life. Now notice this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Wow, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means just like Jesus is to God the Father, so are you. That's a mind-blowing thought to me.
Yes, it is.
When Jesus moves into you and God accepts you and you dwell in God and God dwells in you, God doesn't see, sees you as he sees Jesus.
That's right.
He had to provide Jesus in order to be able to do that.
Amen.
Jesus is the propitiation. We saw that last week. In other words, he's the only one that satisfies God. That's why you can't skip him or misunderstand him.
No way.
You have to know who he is, because he is your only covering for sin.
Amen.
He is the only one that can blot your sin out in the sight of God.
Amen.
He is the only one that took your sin, nailed it to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only one that satisfies God entirely.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah,
and you know what?
Lord.
God knew it because we couldn't do it.
No.
Suppose I had to do it. That would be a pitiful situation, let me tell you now. Because how long are you going to walk perfectly right?
Watch out.
Come on.
You got folk who tell you today, well, you know, when you get saved, you cease from sin. I don't know what planet you went to. Say, hello, can we talk?
Hello.
You might fool somebody running around, prancing around.
Please.
But you know what? God knows everything you think.
Oh, yes, he does.
He knows stuff you thought about doing and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows stuff you thought about doing and you did do it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows all about it, but he is not basing his relationship with you on that kind of stuff.
Amen.
You know what he's basing it on? The perfection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You accept him or you don't.
Yeah.
If you do, I accept you. That's what he said. And you know what? He doesn't leave it up to you. The Holy Spirit moves right in.
Amen.
At the moment you accept Christ. And he moves in, takes up residence in you. And his purpose is to show you Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And to lead you and guide you to all truth. See, so it's very important, the work of the Holy Spirit. See, all who believe that Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God have been born from above. That's what that's called, being born from above. We say born again, according to the King James translation. The word is anothen in the Greek. It means from above. It's kind of like when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. The Bible said the heavens were open. And the Spirit of God descended. It says in the form, in a bodily shape.
That's right.
Like a dove. That's with the grace of a dove.
Yeah.
But it was shaped like Jesus' body. And it was coming down and it just engulfed him. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came and connected with God the Son. God the Holy Spirit connected with God the Son. And basically, he heard a voice to verify what happened. It was not just some vision. He said, he heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So God was pleased with him the whole time. He continued to be pleased with him when he was hanging on the cross. But yet he had to forsake him because he was there for my sin and for yours if you believe in him. So Jesus hung there by himself between heaven and earth, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" See? And the reason was because he was wearing my sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in him, he was wearing your sin.
Yes, he was.
God the Father forsook him because he was wearing the sin of the world. See, I say he was wearing it because he didn't have any on the inside.
All right.
It was a mantle of sin on him.
That's right.
Yeah. He was cursed in the sight of God.
Yeah.
He received the wrath of God. I'm going to forsake you. Mm-hmm. And he took it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Nobody else could ever take it.
Nobody else.
The only one who could take it is a person that was sinless.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There was only one of them, and that was Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes. Only one. Only
nobody
one could take
Jesus.
It. And otherwise, if he forsook him, he would have died. The sin would have consumed him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still there, and the Father forsook him. We know before it was all done, when they gave him he fulfilled the last thing that was required in the word, by God's word. They gave him sour wine to drink. They took a branch of hyssop, put it up to his mouth because he said, "I thirst." And then he spit it out and said, "It is finished." Tetelestai in the Greek, that means everything God required and spoke is already done. It is finished. And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit."
Yeah.
And he commanded his spirit to leave. You know, if it was me, my spirit would have been gone. Because sin would have said, "Come here, I got you."
Amen.
And you can't get out.
Amen.
Never again.
Mm-hmm.
You reach for Jesus, "I can't get you." You can't touch this.
Yes, Lord.
But he was perfect.
That's right.
Come on, man. That's
right.
So this is what we want to conclude with. I'm just about done. All who believe that Jesus is the Messiah is the Son of God, have been born from above by God our Father, and have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit moves in. He doesn't leave it up to me. Who is the producer of leading us in the learning and the properties of real unconditional love? We don't really understand unconditional love. We need to talk about that. Need to pray on that. But we don't really get it. We really don't. It's there. God loves you. And he wants you to love like he does.
Yes, he does.
We don't know how, but he'll teach us.
Yeah.
If he don't teach us, we won't ever learn.
Woo.
So he teaches us about unconditional love, and not only begins the process, but has also promised to perfect in us perfect love, which casts out fear.
Right.
You will become more secure in who you are, what your purpose is for God, what you have to do for the Lord, the things you want to do. You see, God wants you to have the desires of your heart. He wants you to be fulfilled because you know he got me covered. I'm covered.
Yeah.
Now you can be free to serve and worship him.
Mm-hmm.
See? And he'll teach you to love people who don't love you. He'll teach you to love people who hate you.
I know that's true.
He'll teach you how to love people who don't care about you at all. He'll teach you to love people who ignore you and despitefully misuse you, folks who mistreat you and try to cheat you and all of that.
Yes.
Used to be you react, you know, out of love, well, you know, you just try to cheat me. And you get offended.
Yeah.
But you start to understand people the way he does.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit begins to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you become a sucker for a punishment and all of that. But God's going to give you wisdom to understand how to deal with all that stuff you got to deal with. He's the only one who can. And he's going to show you how not to be fearful in your walk.
That's right.
See, there's going to be a lot of stuff. The devil's not going to slow down just because you got saved.
Yes.
He might speed up.
Yes.
Brother Tate can tell you about that.
Yes.
So he got baptized a week or two ago. The very next day, he was. I happened to call him right at the moment.
Yes.
And he said there was a demonic person casting insults at him. I could hear him on the phone.
He had a knife.
You see what I'm saying? He said they had a knife. I said, "Wow, okay."
Wow.
I don't know why God told me to call him, but I called him right at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brother Douglas had told him, "You can expect the fire to get heated up a little bit after you give yourself to the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
And it'll happen. So I want to prepare you. I don't have a smooth gospel.
No.
Where you're not gonna have no trouble. Yo, if you trust God, the trouble is more than likely it's gonna increase.
Oh yes, it will.
But it doesn't mean that you won't have the perfect peace. That's why the Bible says that those who keep their mind stayed on him have perfect peace. So we have to learn how to do that.
That's right.
And God's going to teach you. He loves you just like you are.
He does.
So if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ to be your Savior, and you'd like to do that, we'd like to extend the red carpet for you to come and let us know. And if you're already saved and you want to unite with St. Timothy, we give you that opportunity. We are here to teach and train. We want to teach you the deep things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. As God reveals it to us, we want to teach it to you.
Yes.
Amen. That's why we're here. So if you're looking for something else, this is not the place for you. But if you want to hear the truth, the Word of God, this is the place for you. And we want to invite you to come right now. Amen. We hope you have trusted God and believed Him. And even if you don't, but sometimes the fear, see, this is the kind of stuff we're fearful of. Well, if I come before people, they'll judge me. You know, don't worry about people. You know what? This is one thing I want. I'm going to shut up after this. On the day of judgment, when I stand before God, I need Jesus to say, I know Him, Father.
Oh, yes.
It don't make no difference what anybody else thinks about me. If He don't give me a thumbs up, I'm toast. And He told me if I believe Him, I'm good.
Amen.
And I believe His word is true.
Yes.
So I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
I am not ashamed. I'm a Romans 1:16 Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, for the just shall live by his faith. Amen. We've done as God commands, and we hope you had a blessed Father's Day and visit with us here at St. Timothy. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message. Amen. I'm going to say once again, thanks to our visitors for coming.